Now, she also gave me two pieces of homework. She gave the criminal division two pieces of homework in two specific areas. First, the criminal division will examine whether additional guidance is necessary regarding best corporate practices on the use of personal devices and third-party messaging applications, including those offering ephemeral or disappearing messaging. Now, we have seen a rise in companies and individuals using these types of messaging systems, and companies must ensure that they can monitor and retain those communications as appropriate. Indeed, my understanding is that there was a panel on this very topic just yesterday at the conference. The second piece of homework, the criminal division will examine whether in some cases we may be able to shift the burden of corporate financial penalties away from the shareholders, who in many cases do not have a role in the misconduct itself, onto those who are more directly responsible. In the next coming months, our team will be meeting with, among others, our agency partners, including, and in particular, our partners from the SEC, many of whom are with us this morning, as well as experts on executive compensation. And we'll be gathering relevant data points related to this topic. Based on those inputs, the criminal division will then provide further guidance on how prosecutors will consider and reward corporations that develop and apply compensation clawback policies. I welcome your feedback. I welcome your insight as part of that policy consideration. Now, I mentioned just a few moments ago about voluntary self-disclosure. That particular portion of the announcement bears a bit more attention because it has been a hallmark of the way the criminal division has investigated and prosecuted cases for many years under its corporate enforcement policy. As you know, under that policy, the division has long recognized the potential significance of timely disclosure and fulsome cooperation. However, under the CEP, recidivism may make a company ineligible for a declination under that policy. And so I remember asking myself when I was on the other side of the bar, what would be the incentive to voluntarily self-disclose when your company has a long history of prior misconduct? Keeping in mind that our system is one of sticks and carrots, this new department policy fills in that gap. It makes clear that even under those circumstances, there is still a potential benefit. To be clear, a history of misconduct will not necessarily mean an automatic guilty plea unless aggravating factors, such as misconduct posing a national security threat or deeply pervasive conduct, are present. Now, the new DAG guidance directs all components to make their own voluntary self-disclosure policies, but it doesn't spell out exactly what those aggravating factors may be beyond that. And so today, I'm announcing that going forward in the criminal division, those aggravating factors we will consider will include, but are not limited to, involvement by executive management of the company in the misconduct, significant profit to the company from the direct misconduct, or pervasive and particularly egregious misconduct. Unless those factors are present, even a company with a history of misconduct now has a powerful incentive, an additional powerful incentive, to make a timely self-disclosure. Why? Because it could make all the difference between receiving a DPA and a guilty plea resolution. Again, assuming that the company has also cooperated and timely and appropriately remediated the criminal conduct. Our practices. And this is one that is near and dear to my heart because I was responsible for its development and I was responsible for its announcement back in March of this year. I want to spend a few moments on our Chief Compliance Officer certifications process. Now, to ensure that compliance officials are empowered to create and maintain effective compliance programs. Back in March of this year, I announced that for all Criminal Division corporate resolutions, including guilty pleas, DPAs, NPAs, we would consider requiring both the Chief Executive Officer and the Chief Compliance Officer to sign a certification at the end of the term of the agreement. This document certifies that the company's compliance program is reasonably designed, that it is implemented to detect and prevent violations of the law, and that it is functioning effectively. And these certifications are designed to give compliance officers an additional tool that enables them to raise and address compliance issues within a company or directly with the Department of Justice. These certifications underscore our message to you, to the public, to our corporations, that investing in supporting effective compliance programs and internal controls is smart business, and the department will take notice. These certifications take into account, as appropriate, the nature and circumstances of the criminal violation that gives rise to the resolution itself. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about how that looks in practice, because we've now used this certification in a few cases. We used it in the first instance in our recent Glencore resolution. Even the world's largest companies are not above the law.